FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's June 13th, 2017. Well, what's happening in the future? What's happening now? Let's check in with Gerald Celente of Trends Journal. Gerald, it's been a while, but welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me on, Kerry.
Always a pleasure. So, hey, we got this deep state here. Looks like they're trying to pull a coup, but I think Trump is wise to them. What do you think's happening?
Well, you know, there's no question that, you know, Trump's an outsider and they don't want him in. And, you know, it's hard to say what's going to happen. But the reality is that the more instability that happens with Trump and the deep state, the more difficult it is for the economy in this country to grow. You know, they're too distracted doing other things. And secondly, on the other hand, you know, Trump, from a guy, you know, that was going to stay out of Syria and not do this and not do that, all of a sudden he's ramping up big time. Mm-hmm. And particularly making that, well, again, with the Saudis, you know, the beheaders in chief. Oh, he made $110 billion. It's a $300 billion over several years, but $110 billion this year. And everybody goes, hey, guess what? Obama did a $150 billion deal.
Yeah, right. Well, it's questionable whether that deal really exists or whether it was just media hype or not as well, right?
You know, it's more war. And now they're ratcheting up with Iran. And this is really, you know, to me, you know, disgusting propaganda. You know, Iran hasn't invaded a country in 250 years. Oh, they're the biggest supporter of terrorists. What did we just sell, what, $110 billion to the Saudis? You want to talk about supporters of terrorists? You know, they're responsible for the overthrow of Gaddafi, along with the United States, destabilization in Syria. I mean, on and on. You know, what they're doing in Yemen, 500,000 people now affected with cholera. You know, and the United States is selling them all the destructive weapons to slaughter them. So anyway, the way we see it, Kerry, is that put your eye on Iran.
Yeah.
That's the big one.
Mm-hmm.
And if we go to war with Iran, this will be the war that ends all wars.
Yeah.
If anybody ever forgot, these are the Persians. They've been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going anyplace quick.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Well, no doubt. What about with North Korea, though? It seems like they're first on the hit parade, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, they're the boogeyman. They've always been out there. Oh, God, how many years? I mean, it's a country with a GDP smaller than West Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, and what are they going to do? And they got a missile. And before you know it, they'll have an ICBM that could come here. That's like saying I have a gun. And because I have a gun, I could start a revolution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got one loud, they can do missiles go about what? You know, 100 miles, 200 miles, 300 miles. You know, it's more of this, it's the other side of the deep state. It's the military industrial complex that Dwight D. Eisenhower, five-star general, supreme commander of the Allied forces, of course, two-term president, Republican, warned the nation of when he was leaving office. That the military-industrial complex would rob us of the genius of the scientists, sweat of the laborers, and future of the children. Here we are.
Yeah, here we are. Huh? I guess nobody paid attention to old Dwight, did they?
Nobody wants to hear it. I mean, you know, it's like, oh, we got to applaud our troops. Oh, they're not doing me a favor by going over there. Stay home. And I put my money where my mouth is. I launched OccupyPeace.us. I closed down the historic corners here in Colonial Kingston. I had Ralph Nader, Robert Thurman, Uma Thurman's father, Gary Null, you know, Cindy Sheehan, who camped out in front of George Bush's joint for, months after his son was killed in Iraq. So I'm tired of this. You know, I got to look. Corbyn just did a number on May over there in the UK. You know what he came out and said? It made the news in the States one day, but this is one of the reasons why he got more votes. He said, we're fertilizing the ground for terrorism by destroying all these countries, killing these millions of people, leaving them with no future. So you're creating the conditions for it. Yeah, no kidding. And nobody wants to talk about it. We're going to wipe out ISIS. Oh, what other country are you going to destroy? Oh, 16 years in Iraq, Afghanistan. Great job, man. If a foreign country came here, killed everybody that I love, destroyed my nation, and I'm a young guy with no future, you think I'd become radicalized? Wouldn't I want to blow the SOB's brains out that killed my parents, my loved ones, and my country and my life? You think I'd want to get even? Well, Salenti, you're a militant. You're a terrorist. No, I'm not. If I didn't want to do that, then I'd be a little nothing.
Yeah.
I'm not a terrorist or a militant. As we used to say in the Bronx, payback's a bitch. And how about do unto others as you would have them do unto you? All these people that are throwing out their religious lines at their convenience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's very convenient, isn't it?
So now it goes back to, what do you invest in? And we have been saying, and we changed our tune on this. For the better part of a year, we were pro-Bitcoin and pro-cryptocurrencies and pro-gold.
Mm-hmm.
And only because we're saying it because of all of the uncertainty. And the markets could turn around on a dime. All you need is a wild card. And there's no other wild card than Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yep. No greater wild card than Donald Trump, that's for sure. Is there?
No, that's what I mean. He's the wildest of wild cards. You never know what he's going to do. And so the markets, I mean, you saw what happened. You're seeing Apple shares going down some 7%. Mm-hmm. And of course, they're over. We had forecast. We changed. We did a 180 4 days after Trump got elected.
Yeah.
And we said that we'd see economic, the markets would turn around. It would be positive for the markets, moderate growth for the economy. And we've been saying now for the better part of 2 months, we expect a 10% correction, but we don't see a crash coming again, unless there's a wild card played. I don't want to mention any names, but I've been hearing people in my business saying that the Trump rally was going to end 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that today they're on CNBC, big news. Market's ready to crash. We don't see it happen. We see a correction.
Right.
Absent the wild card.
Yeah, well, you never know. This time could be different, right? So
That's what I mean. The wild card, you know, that's why nobody can predict the future.
Yeah.
There's too many wild cards in life.
So we all
felt them in our own lives.
Oh,
you know?
Sure. Absolutely. We know it. We've all experienced it. Any of you out there listening have definitely, the future is very uncertain and unpredictable. So getting back to the cryptocurrencies, what is propelling them and what is going to cause them to crash?
What will cause them to crash is that the governments could control them in a second. And that's why you had a big reversal several months ago when China really put the clamps down on it. Then we saw Japan, now they're making Bitcoin a legal currency to use. And that's what really drove the prices up recently. And again, you know, for me, you know, we don't give financial advice, of course.
Sure.
But speaking only for myself, you know, why would I want a cryptocurrency? Because the governments could do anything they want to it at any time. And so I'd rather have a precious metal that I could, you know, I could take possession of.
Yeah. You think crypto is short for kryptonite?
It could well be.
Yeah. I think the power of the government to regulate and to control these cryptocurrencies is greatly, greatly underappreciated and underestimated. I mean, what are some of the things they could do besides outright banning of it?
Well, again, no, what they do is they did in China. You know, they put a lot of regulations on them. You need to do this, you need to do that. And they want to stop. Actually, the reason that Bitcoin got its big boost was that when the yuan was diving, younger people were going into cryptocurrencies rather than seeing their yuan devalued.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of thing that's going to drive it up. But I agree with you 100%. They could do anything they want at any time, name the game, just like the Federal Reserve makes up what they want to make up. Hey, the economy in trouble. I got a new one for you. How about zero interest rate policy? Now I got a better one for you. Quantitative easing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they'll make up any kind of crap they want at any time.
Of course. It's the government. They make the rules. And they don't have to live by the rules either, do they?
Well, not in a neo-feudal society, and that's what we have. You have different rules for the economic elite and the political nobility. If we don't pay our taxes, man, they'll break down your door, that SWAT team, man, steal everything that you have, even if they don't have any proof. We suspected it. Mm-hmm. They could blow your brains out. Now, thanks to Obama getting rid of our habeas corpus rights, gives El Presidente, the 2012 National Defense Authorization Act, they could kill any one of us, any place, any time, for any reason, reason at all. So it's a economic elite. Look at all the gangsters on Wall Street, the banksters that ruined the lives of tens of millions of people, outright committed felonies, and not one head rolled. So it's a neo-feudal society. People are misspelling the word justice. It's J-U-S-T-U-S, just us.
Hey, and you know, Gerald, when we first started talking, it was like right after the crash when things were really in a sorry state. But you were talking about the demise of retailing, and they arrested the demise somewhat. But now you're really seeing retailing take a hit, retailing going out the door. It's retail apocalypse there.
For two reasons, a number of reasons. You know, you could blame online shopping, but I think it's only about 13% of what we buy. And that's definitely a hit. I mean, there's no question about it. But you also have millennials that have no money and they're not dressing up. It's a whole different look. So, yeah, retail is going to continue to, we called actually my book Trends 2000. And I wrote that in 96. It was a Warner book, international bestseller. And I warned about the pall on the malls. The malls were dying even before the death knell was put in, long before online shopping became big. They overmalled the nation. The whole trip of going out to go shopping and driving was no fun. And it lost its what it used. And then all of the big companies taking over everything. So you see a Macy's, for example, you know, Macy's ended up buying up all these different companies.
I know.
So, and now look what they're suffering for, it, as well as so many other retailers. So the retailers that we see thriving are going to be unique, you know, individually owned on-trendpreneur stores. Now think about it, Kerry. When these big malls opened up around small towns, they sucked all the business out, right?
Yeah, it was horrible.
From downtowns.
Terrible.
Now they're closing up. The business goes back to the downtown.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of opportunity, but then you have to look at the bigger picture. You drive across America and you go into these places that used to be not only the Rust Belt. I mean, go to upstate New York. Been to Utica lately?
Oh, God.
I mean,
horrible.
You go to any of these places that used to be thriving at one time. You know, they're dead. So it's going to be places that are exurban, but not, like where I am up here in Kingston, New York. Mm. You know, we're 90 miles north of New York City on the Hudson River. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's the third Dutch settlement. It's all these, 1700 buildings. You know, so yeah, we're near Woodstock. So people are moving up here, but it's ex-urban.
Right.
They're not going out to, other places that used to be big because they don't have business or industry to support. So
right.
The United States is on a long downward slide. You don't see much growth other than, maybe between 2 to 3%, 3% at best when things turn around. But, again, as long as our priorities are war.
Yeah, that's for sure. And yeah, the malls, it's really amazing. And what you say, going back to downtown, Buffalo, New York, that place was left for dead 20 years ago. Used to have an office there, and I just watched the stores closing up and boarding on Main Street. Now to some extent, it's due to government investment, but really the turnaround of the city is one of millennials and immigration. The millennials want to live downtown so they don't need a car, where there's mass transit, where there's they can walk to the corner store and buy their groceries, which is also a much more healthier trend. Locally produced, organic food. I mean, that really is sweeping the country. And immigrants looking for cheap housing. And the combination has made Buffalo like one of the hottest cities in the country. And everyone thought it was left for dead, Gerald. You know, everyone.
I remember. Yep. So. And so that's the kind of thing, you know, you go, the cities are the places to be. But again, now, I mean, you go to New York and you can't afford to live there.
No.
You know, New York City, Brooklyn, all these places, Queens, you know, everything is so, it's so overpriced, and they're building and building and building and building and building. So your ex-urban areas that have transportation are going to be the hot ones coming up.
Yes.
And by the way, there's already a building bubble in the commercial markets and in the the luxury end.
Yes.
The luxury end is they're in trouble now. And rentals. I mean, you go down New York, you know, you go down to West Village, you go all mm-hmm. over, you know, for rent. People can't afford the rents. And the other people say, it's for tax purposes. No, it's not. It's for rents everywhere. And then you're looking at, you know, office space. They're giving now 12 to 15 months free rent.
Not the sign of a healthy market, right?
All built.
Yeah, for sure. So we got interesting things happening. So what's going to happen for the rest of the year? Are we looking at potential wars here, or are we going to avert them?
It's so easy to go to war. They lie their way into war all the time. Mm-hmm. Does anybody forget the Iran-Iraq war?
Oh,
you know, they never had weapons of mass destruction, or ties to Al-Qaeda, and we killed all those people. Mm-hmm. And then you take a look at, as well, if you go to Afghanistan, you know, I wrote in one of our trends journals, and the new one's just out. Did you get it, by the way?
Yeah, I just got it. Thank you. Yes.
In one of the trends journals, I outlined George Bush's speech to the nation 9 days after 9/11, setting up the war against Afghanistan. And I began it by saying only a madman would speak these words, and only people dumbstruck with terror would believe them, and believe they did. There's not one fact he put in there why we were going into Afghanistan, other than there's a man named Osama bin Laden, and he'd been living there. Yeah, so. You know, and the Afghan government wanted a deal. We have no time to talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
A war based on a total fraud. That, you know, you were talking about the people don't pay for their crimes. How about a war crime tribunal for these murderers that got us into war? How about Hillary Clinton getting us into war with Libya, her and Obama? Libya never did anything to us.
No.
They were the richest country in Africa. Couldn't be because of their oil. No. That's like what? They didn't want Iraq's oil either. It was their broccoli crop. I tell everybody. They had the best broccoli in the world.
That's why
we invaded them.
I've heard they got good broccoli there.
Yep. Man, so anyway, I think they're going to take us to war in Iran. I really do.
Yeah. God, I hope not. But you never know what they're capable of, right?
It just happened
with
Qatar. One of the reasons they cut off Qatar was because of their relationship with Iran.
Mm-hmm. This is true. Very true. So it's just what's going to happen next, huh? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. That's what we're forecasting. War with Iran. And that'll be the beginning of the end. People forget that another slimy little piece of crap that should rot in hell, Rumsfeld, the little slimy nothing of a boy. I hate these little guys that have, they're not men at all, like Penis Cheney. Well, I have to be prop. I don't want to get bleeped. Dick Cheney. All these little guys, they couldn't fight their way out of a paper bag. Bush, Obama, Clinton, all little tough guys that murder people. That little slime ball Rumsfeld. Boy, I'd like to see him face to face. He was the guy that gave Saddam Hussein those golden spurs to start the war against Iran, which Iran lost over 1 million people. People forget that.
Yeah, they forget all too fast. Well, let's hope somebody is paying attention to the lessons of history. And hey, Gerald, the best way to subscribe to Trends Journal?
Oh, trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com. The Trends Journal, as you see, what's about 60-page, full color, no ads. The only place you're going to read history before it happens. And of course, we do a Trends Monthly, Trend Alerts each week, and Trends in the News broadcasts each weekday night.
All right. Well, hey, Gerald, it's always a pleasure having you on. We will have a link to your site in the show notes, as always. Any questions for Gerald, myself, kl@carrielutz.com is the email address. Twitter is @CarrieLutz. Gerald, we will talk to you again real soon. Thanks so much for coming on.
And thank you for having me on, and thank you for all you're doing.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.